Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 30, question 80. What is the difference between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and that by the Holy Ghost we are engrafted into Christ, who, with his true body, is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and is there to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is still daily offered for them by the priests, and that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and is therefore to be worshipped in them. And thus the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and passion of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. Question 81. Who are to come to the table of the Lord? Those who are displeased with themselves for their sins, yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining infirmity is covered by the passion and death of Christ, who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to amend their life. But the impenitent and hypocrites eat and drink judgment to themselves. And finally, question 82. Are those also to be admitted to the supper who show themselves by their confession and life to be unbelieving and ungodly? No, for thereby the covenant of God is profaned, and his wrath provoked against the whole congregation. Wherefore the Christian church is bound, according to the order of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the office of the keys until they amend their life. In question 80, there is a very sharp and very pointed question and answer about the difference between what we do in the Lord's Supper versus the theory or the theology that lay behind the ongoing celebration of the Mass. Now, clearly, this question is one of those that reflects the historical origins of the Catechism. The Reformation was a protest movement against the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church. And so it was necessary to make some of these doctrinal points extremely clear. But why was this one particularly important? Why was this one worth mentioning and digging into and exploring in such depth? Well, part of what lies behind this is that the actions of the Church reflect our theology. I'm not saying they reflect our theology perfectly. I'm not saying we always do a great job at communicating what we believe by what we do. But at least in principle, observing the actions of the Church should enable you to pick up on at least some of the main points of their theology. If you were to observe the actions of this Church, for instance, I think you'd come to the conclusion that we think the Word of God is very important. I hope you would draw that conclusion from observing our actions. Well, the theology behind the way the Roman Catholics celebrated the Mass was one that basically said that there was a participation in something that was ongoing, that Christ's sacrifice was extended and continued, or that his one sacrifice was offered again, was re-presented through the work of the priest. And so salvation came by getting involved in this ritual, by participating in the reenactment of the drama of redemption. But there's a huge problem with that. We're not saved by participating in something that is ongoing. We're saved because Christ, by one sacrifice, has perfected forever those who are sanctified. And so in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 27, it tells us that we need a high priest who does not need daily, as those high priests, those Levitical high priests from the Old Testament, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. And now notice this, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. The Mass was considered to be, is considered to be, a representation of the sacrifice instead of a commemoration of the one sacrifice that was offered once for all time, because that was good enough. So at this point, at this particular point of participating in bread and wine, or as it was at the time of the Reformation, the cup was withheld from the laity, so only in the bread. At this point of how we participate, a fundamental difference in theology is visible, and it's a fundamental difference in theology that has to do with the heart of the gospel. Is the work of Christ sufficient, or does the work of Christ need to be participated in, furthered, perpetuated by the clerical ritual? That's a big difference. That's the difference between your salvation being something accomplished by Christ and your salvation being something that depends on the ongoing work of the church. One sacrifice has been offered for all time, once for all. That's part of the glory of the gospel, and it was a glory that was obscured. We can't stand for that. We can't just let that go. And so we recite question and answer 80 in the Heidelberg Catechism.